How's everybody doing tonight? It's good to see you all. It's good to be here amongst brothers and sisters. I love this time that we can come together just to know that we are disciples, that we are God's children, that we can come together and just witness that, that we can see Christ's physical body here. It's an amazing thing. I think that's it. Okay, so middle school parents, I think this is your last class, so you may stand up and go wherever you go. Have fun, enjoy the class. We have a visitor here, visiting from the Clemson Church, Greg Ergel. Go ahead and stand on up. It's great to have you here, bro. I'm fired up to preach the Word of God to you guys tonight. You know, the primary way that God communicates to us is through His Bible, through His Word right here. And the way that we communicate with Him is through prayer. And it is the basis of our relationship. If you want to kind of evaluate how you're doing spiritually, you can simply look at how much do I read and how much do I pray. Now that isn't a fail-proof way because the Pharisees read their Bible, they also prayed, but nonetheless, it is a good place to start. We know that in Ephesians 5:17, it says, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we know in Psalm 141, verse 2, it describes our prayers as incense to God. We know that it is God's will for us to pray. And then we know that it's pleasing to Him. You know, that's an incredible thought to think about, that our prayers are like incense. You know, you think about that. It's a soothing aroma to God. You know, it relaxes Him. He enjoys it. It's pleasing to the senses, and He looks forward to our prayers. You know, God is good. That is awesome that He loves to hear us, because we have a lot to say. We can have a lot to complain about, but God is there for us. He wants us to be devoted to prayer. We know that from Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that the first century church, one of the things that they were devoted to was prayer. Therefore, we need to be devoted to prayer. You know, I have 2 points tonight that I want to cover. Prayer takes a decision and the power of prayer. And the title for tonight's lesson is, We Need to Pray. We need to pray. And I'm just going to say that there is so much material about prayer that I could be up here for days. I'm just scratching the surface. The amount of passages in the Bible is overwhelming. There are about 400 scriptures pertaining to prayer. We're going to be looking at quite a few scriptures, but definitely not 400. So I encourage you, this is kind of like a teaser, like an appetizer, so that you can continue throughout this next week and through your times with God, that you can really study this out and really deepen your convictions about this. Amen? So point number one, prayer takes a decision. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 5 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. And this is Moses speaking. It says, see, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. observe them carefully. For this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? This is an awesome scripture. And you see that, once again, it starts with obedience. And Richard's been talking about obedience for several weeks, and if you haven't heard the lessons, I encourage you to go on our website and listen to them. They're extremely helpful. But this is not a coincidence that it talks about obedience, because obedience matters. And so much stems from it. It says, what other gods are there that draw near? Outside of the Bible, you will not find it. The Bible is unique in that. That God comes close to us. That God draws himself to us. That God comes down to us to have a relationship. Every other religion is the opposite. We have to go up to him. We have to do this. We have to go. God comes to us. Notice when God comes near. It's when we pray to him. That's awesome. That is encouraging to me. Because whenever you go throughout your day, all you have to do is pray and God is near you. We know that from Matthew chapter 20, verse 18, it says, for where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. That's Jesus speaking. I can count more than two or three. So Jesus is here. When two or three more gather in his name, Jesus is there. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, it says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is an incredible thing that God is with us, that God is near us. Jesus is here in this room. When you go about your day and you're starting to pray, God is near you. Do you realize the power that God has given you? Do you realize how special this gift is? All you have to do is pray. And you can pray anywhere, at any time, with any attitude. And God will be near you. Church, we need to pray. We need to pray. And we're not the only ones who know about this secret. Satan knows about this. He knows that when we pray and when we gather, God is near us and God is among us. So how easy is it for him to keep you from praying? What does he have to do? Maybe he just throws a wrench into your plans and you get upset, you throw your arms up, and you walk away. You're mad. You're not praying. Or maybe it's the complete opposite. When everything's going perfect, you just rely on yourself. You don't pray at all. Maybe Satan knows, hey, that guy, I don't even have to mess with him. He'll just take himself out of the battle. We need to pray. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah 56, starting in 7, in verse 7. It says, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. We see God's desire for his church. We see God's desire for his people when they gather, that it will be a house of prayer. That's what he wants it to be called. That's what he wants it to be known by. This is his desire for us. It is to pray. And we can see, we can read in the Gospels, Jesus fought for this. When you read in Matthew 21, Jesus quotes this very scripture when he flips over the tables of the merchants, when he makes a whip out of cords and drives them out because they're selling stuff. Jesus fought for this. This is what he wanted. He said, this will be a house of prayer. Prayer is not just something that we should do, but it is essential. It is a must. We have to pray. How much do you pray? And what do you pray about? Do you pray about everything? Do you pray about just the things that are stressing you out? Do you not bother to pray about, well, I don't think that will ever happen. There's no point in praying for that. What are you praying about? What are you and who are you praying for on a regular basis? Do we pray for each other? Do we pray for the church? Do we pray for the leadership? Do we pray for our families? Do we pray for our friends, our coworkers on a regular basis? What prayers have you given up on? I know it can be difficult. Year after year, you don't see this prayer happen, but we are not to give up. God will have his timing. Would God say that this church is a house of prayer? According to your life and those around you, would you say, yes, this is a house of prayer? I believe that we need to pray. We need to pray. Let's go over to Psalm 86. I'm hitting a lot of different things because there's a lot of things to hit on. Psalm 86, starting in verse 5. It says, you are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Wow. I love how it starts out. For you are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. I want God to be abounding in love to me. So I'm a call to him. I'm a call on his name. I want him to hear my prayers. I want him to answer my prayers. I want him to be there for me. I need it. And there is no one else like him. There is no other God. He alone is God. And I want all of this that is talked about here. Do you realize what prayer is? You are talking to the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the God who spoke everything into existence. Everything that we see, everything that we smell, everything that we feel, everything that we can touch, and everything that we can imagine. He created it with his words, and we can talk to him. That's amazing. We get to talk to God. We get to put our requests before him, and he hears them, and he likes to hear them. That is amazing. Imagine if you had Obama's cell phone and said, Obama, hey, man, I need a job. Can you hook it up? Or I need this. Hey, can you lower that? Can you raise this? Wouldn't you take advantage of that? We can do that with God who created everything, who made it all, who is the supreme power. We should be praying all of the time. You know, this world is tough and it's hard, and we all know what it's like to live in this life without God. It's pointless. It's miserable. Yeah, there's some fun times there. There's some joy. There's some love from time to time. But life is hard. And as children of God, we can talk to Him. We can have Him. Man, we can face anything with God. That's why He gave us prayer. We have to have it. We have Him on speed dial. You know, this helps me a lot because it can be easy to think, God doesn't want to hear me. Why would He want to hear from me? Who am I? I'm nobody. Or, well, He already knows my problems. He already knows what I'm going through. So what's the point of me praying anyways? But it's not the case. He wants to hear from us. He made us to be connected with Him. You know, if Adam and Eve did not mess up, we'd be walking with God. And that's what God intended, to be walking with Him. And now things have changed a little bit, but we can still walk with God. We can do that by prayer. And the amazing thing that blows my mind is that He isn't some distant God that we don't know. He isn't sitting up on this throne and we're just these little ants. He's called our Father. He calls us our sons and daughters. Jesus calls us friend and brother. He is close to us. He is near to us. He loves us. He wants to hear from us. Imagine one of your loved ones. They're with you all the time, but they never talk to you. Sometimes that could be awkward. You're driving in the car and you have nothing to say. Imagine that. Is God feeling uncomfortable around us because we're sitting here, but we never talk to Him? What is the point of that? That does not make sense. That's like having the winning lottery ticket and not handing it in. That's dumb. God gave us prayer to enjoy, to help us. So what does it take to be devoted to prayer? It takes a decision. It takes you deciding to draw close to Him. It takes you deciding, tonight I will be devoted to prayer. Do not delay because it is too costly to delay. All it takes is a decision. Snap of a finger. When is the last time that you just thank God or worship God for all the things He's done for you? That's all you prayed about. Just thanking Him for all the incredible things He's done for you. You know, we're going to go into Daniel, and we're going to look at two different prayers of Daniel. The first one is him just thanking God. Daniel chapter 2. Starting in verse 20. It says, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank and praise You, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of You. You have made known to us the dream of the king. You know, Daniel, you can tell from this prayer that he was just revealed in a vision what he needs to say to the king. And his response is just praising God. In his prayer, that's all he did. He didn't say, God, You are awesome. Now help me out. do this for me, do that for me. I need this, I need that, I need this. He just simply thanked God. Our God has done incredible things. We need to just pray and thank him. There's many times where I start out my prayers just singing songs. I take the song book and I take praise songs and I just praise him. That's what we are to do. That's what God made us for, to praise him. He is worthy of our praise, right? Another thing that I do, I call it the alphabet prayer. You can call it whatever you want. But I go from A to Z just lifting up his name. I go, God, you are awesome. You're amazing. God, you're brilliant. You are bright. God, you are cunning. You are kind. God, you are a deliverer. You know, it's just, I just go through all the way through the alphabet. That is an amazing prayer time. You can spend about a half an hour doing that. We did that as a campus ministry. Before the fall semester started, we walked around GGC every day for a week, and on the seventh day, we did it seven times. And that was one of the times we did that. We would just walk around the campus, and each person would just say an attribute about God, just lifting him up. And we probably did that for about 20 minutes, and it was awesome. I highly recommend doing that. That is something that we need to do. What about a prayer of repentance or confession? When's the last time that you just broke down and got real with God where you are? What you're feeling, what you've been doing, what you've been going through. Daniel does that for the people. In chapter 9, we're just going to read a little, a section of this. This is a longer prayer. I encourage you to read the whole thing. In Daniel chapter 9, starting in verse 4, says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servant, the prophets, who speak in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes, and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. And he goes on. You know, this is a very sobering prayer. This is not a prayer that you leave like fired up. You're like, I need a change. This is real. This is hard. This is what's going on. You know, when's the last time you just begged God for forgiveness? That you just asked him, God, change my heart. I want to sin. Change my heart. Change my mind. Purify me. When is the last time we've had a prayer time like that? Church, we need to pray. Point number two is the power of prayer. Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 4. We're going to be looking at a couple things of some incredible stories of what happens after prayer or during prayer. Acts chapter 4. But what to kind of fill you in what's going on, Peter and John were just before the Sanhedrin. After being put in jail and released, they went before everybody and just gave an account. Hey, this is what happened. Kind of like good news sharing, but hey, I went to jail sharing. They were fired up about it. But we're going to pick up here in verse 41. So this is after they pray. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You know, talk about a powerful prayer time. You know, I've had some great prayer times, but a room is never shaken after I've prayed. Maybe if we lived in California, that would happen. But, you know, just imagine this. You know, whether it's Peter or John or some other person praying, you know, in Jesus' name, amen. And the room starts shaking. I mean, that's amazing. No wonder they were fired up. Like, whoa, let's go. You know, they're just like, let's go preach the word. It's time to go. You know, after a good prayer time, I feel like I can take on the world. You know, just like, bring it on. I remember there's times I'm praying, I'm like, Satan, just bring it on. God, just help me defeat him. You know, sometimes bad things happen after that, but, you know, I'm just ready to take on the world. You know, when I think about that, a great prayer time of just totally changing the way you think, totally changing the way you feel. I think about when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 26 and look at this real quick. But this is a great example of the power of prayer. And we all know this story. But we're gonna pick up here in verse 38. It says, then he said to them all, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Now let's skip on down to verse 46. It says, rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer, exclamation mark. You know, do you see the change after prayer? You know, it's safe to say that he prayed for 3 hours because he says he went away, and after an hour he came back, and then he did that two more times. So after about 3 hours of prayer, Jesus starts out, he's just, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Jesus wanted to die. He did not want to go to the cross. And after praying, he told his disciples, get up, man. It's time to go. He was ready to face the world. He was ready to take it on. That is what prayer can do. That is the power of prayer. You know, how many of us have difficult days? Yeah. Everybody, if you didn't raise your hand, you know, that's great. But I don't believe you, you know. You know, are you praying to get through those difficult days? Are you praying to get through them? You know, are you going to God when you don't want to do something, but you know you need to do it? Like, God, I know I should do that, but I really don't want to. I'd like to sit and watch TV and just relax. Can't I just do that? You know, are you praying during those times? Or even temptation? God, wow, okay. Wow, that's very tempting. I'd really like to do it. God, help me. Help me to not do that. Or maybe it's more serious things. You know, there's a couple announcements of deaths in the family and sickness. You know, what do you do in those situations? What about when you lose a job? Whatever life may throw at you, do you go to God? Do you go to him? We are to be like Jesus, and that's what he did. You know, prayer will get you through. I promise. I can promise you prayer will get you through. If Jesus can face the cross without flinching in his resolve because of prayer, so can we. And we are not facing a cross. We are not taking on the world's sin. If Jesus can do that through prayer, so can we. We are to follow in his steps. We need to pray. Let's go to Acts chapter 16 and look at another example. The Bible's full of them. That should show you something. Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 22. says the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they have been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. You know, talk about incredible faith. Paul and Silas were doing God's work. They were sharing their faith. They were healing people and just spreading God's word. And someone didn't like that because they healed a girl that could prophesy and tell them the future. And like, you just took my life savings away and my retirement. I do not like you. And so they rallied up a crowd. And then they're beaten, they're flogged. And then not only after they're flogged, but then they're put in the inner cell and they're put in the stocks. You know, talk about a bad day. I remember when I was younger, I hated getting spanked. And my dad would spank me with a belt, and that hurt. And that has no comparison to being flogged at all. And notice what time it was when they were singing and praying. It was midnight. Midnight. After they just got beaten. All I would want to do is just crawl up in a little ball and try to go to sleep. Okay, let me forget about this day. But that is not what they did. They were praying and singing songs while in the stocks. You know, stocks is, you got this big bar, and you're basically, it was most likely on the floor, and you're just locked in on the floor. You can't move. It's painful. It's metal. You're in the inner room, in the inner cell. There's no windows. There's no happiness there. And they're singing and praying to God aloud. You know, we have a lot to learn from Paul and Silas. You know, because instead of complaining or doubting God, God, why'd you do this? I was doing your stuff, man. And they didn't have a self-loathing depression session. They prayed aloud and sang hymns to God. And I believe they used prayer to draw close to God and to rely on his strength. They were relying on God's strength through prayer. I mean, talk about a time when you need strength. You were just flogged, and now you're in prison. I would need some serious strength. What is your response to hardship or persecution? You know, the persecution that we face is someone make fun of us behind our back or look at us weird or say no to our invitation. You know, coworkers might treat us differently. But what is your response to that? Do you just, oh man, this is just so sad and upsetting? Or do you pray? Do you go to God? I believe that prayer is an incredible resource that many of us have not tapped into. Prayer is an incredible resource that we all need to tap into. You know, there can be several reasons why we haven't tapped into this awesome gift that God has given us. It could be fear. Well, God won't hear me, or what if God doesn't answer that? It could be lack of faith. It could be laziness, or it could just being reluctant to change. Well, if I'm to be devoted to prayer, I start work at 7:30. It takes me 45 minutes to get to work. That means I would need to get up at like 5. Maybe you're just reluctant to change. If you are going to make it to heaven, if you are going to make it through this life, we need to pray. We need to pray. If you haven't had hardship in your life yet, it's coming. And after that one comes, another one will come. And another one will come. And then you will die. We have to pray. We have to pray. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. This is Jesus teaching about prayer. So we should definitely pay attention to this. In the first couple of verses of chapter 11, he gives us a format of how to pray. And we're going to pick up here in verse 5. It says, "Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine is on a journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is friend. Yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You know, this is a unique teaching on prayer. You know, Jesus is telling this story of this friend. I don't know if you like surprise pop-ups. I do not. I'm not a fan, especially at midnight. I'd be a little upset. But you get this knock, it's midnight, man, you're just laying in bed feeling good, nice and warm, and you get this knock to the door, and your friend wants 3 loaves of bread, of all things. And so, you know, you're like, "What are you doing, man? It's midnight." He's like, "Well, I got my friend coming in, I got nothing to give him." And Jesus says, not because he's your friend, but because he is bold enough to ask, you will get up and give him everything he needs. Do you realize what Jesus is teaching here about prayer? He's telling us to be bold. Jesus says, when you pray, be bold, and God will give it to you. That's incredible. I would think it'd be the opposite. Be humble and don't really ask for much. That's a smart thing to do. But Jesus says, man, got the craziest prayer? Pray that and believe it will happen. Put anything before God. You know, imagine if this scenario happened. You know, you see Bill Gates. "Hey, Bill. Hey, man. You got a quarter?" Would anybody ask Bill Gates for a quarter? Never. Bill Gates would be insulted. His bodyguards, "Man, go get that dude." Yet with God, who has all power to do anything, we ask him for quarters. Sometimes we ask for pennies. How insulting is that? You have the power to do anything, and your son or daughter asks for pennies. You know, what are you praying about? Would Jesus say your prayers are bold? You know, Jesus up in heaven, he hears that prayer. Whoa, that is a bold prayer. Would he say your prayers are bold? You know, maybe it's, "Get me out of debt this year." For me, that's a bold prayer. You know, "I want to baptize 10 people this year." Or maybe it's, I want my kids to become disciples next month. You know, whatever is bold to you, you need to pray it. That's what Jesus is teaching here. And he wants us to be bold. And he says, hey, ask me and it will be given to you. And he compares us as fathers to God the Father. He says, hey, if your son asked you for a fish, come on, man, you're evil and you even know how to give good gifts. How much more is our perfect Father can give good gifts? It's just, I mean, the comparison, you're like, whoa, wow. You know, we just had Christmas. Some of us got some great things. I got some awesome socks, and I was fired up. And I thought that was a good gift, you know. But our God can give us so much more. Nothing is beyond our God. Do you realize that? God can do anything outside of lying. He can do anything. This is an amazing thing. Jesus is telling us that if we ask, it will be given to us. And that if we ask with boldness, God will more likely give it to us. You know, God has given us a magnificent gift in marriage. I love being married because I have a great wife. And I'll be the first to admit that I haven't prayed much with my wife. But as of lately, we've been praying a lot more. And it has been awesome. It's been helping our marriage. It's brought us together. It has been great. You know, men, we need to pray with our wives. We need to pray with our wives. We need to lead them in this way. We need to be united with them in this way. And when we do that, our marriage will benefit it greatly. You know, we know that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. But what about the prayers of 10 righteous men and women? How effective is that? How effective is a prayer of 10 righteous men and women? You know, as a church, we have the goal of seeing 48 baptisms by July 15th. Something that hasn't happened in over 8 years. So we could say that that's a bold prayer, right? Okay, we've gotten 15 so far. All right, and it's almost February. Time is flying. So we got to pray, right? What if we were all to pray for that? What if we all were to pray for 48 baptisms by July 15th? Almost 300 disciples, almost 300 children of God begging him for the same thing. Imagine that. God listens to us on an individual level, right? And our prayers are powerful and effective. Imagine collectively what our prayers can accomplish. Just imagine the power that's behind that. I mean, I have no idea how many disciples are in the world. I have no idea. I know in our movement, we're around 100,000. Let's say there's maybe 1 million, maybe 10 million. I have no idea how many disciples are out there. But imagine 300 of those praying for the same thing. That excites me. I'm just like, oh, I can't wait for July 15th. I can't wait to see how many people got baptized if we all pray for it. You know, we need to pray for this goal every day. And when we do that, not only will it happen, but it will affect our lives. It will unify us. It will change the way you go about your day. You know, imagine you're praying every day. God, bring us open people. Lead us to those 48. put them in our paths. So what are you going to do when you walk around? You're going to be looking. Are you number 45? Yeah. Which one are you? Okay. Who's the open person in here? We're looking. You see what prayer does? If you pray to meet someone open today, you're going to be waiting and looking and talking. I remember when I was in college, I would pray for the weirdest outfits. I would pray for like red shirt, blue shorts, and flip-flops. I was like, God, leave me just... I pray that the guy with red shirt, blue shorts, and wearing flip-flops is open. And man, when I got on campus, I was like, all right, that's a red shirt. Those aren't exactly blue, but I'm going to go for it. Or I remember my roommate, he prayed for a guy to wear orange pants. And I was like, orange pants? Who wears orange pants? And he found them. You know, prayer has a great effect on our lives. Because if we're waiting in anticipation for God to answer these prayers, then we're waiting in anticipation. And we can't wait to see it done. And imagine that all of us are praying for the same thing. We get to church and we're, man, who's new here today? Where's the visitor at? Where? What's going on? How can I get, what studies are you in? Are you in studies? I mean, it would just be incredible. And this is what God has set up all along. This is nothing new. This is no new formula. You know, God did not drop this revelation on me. It's been here since the beginning. Prayer. I will come close to you. I will give you strength. I will help you through difficult times. Use me. I am here for this. You know, God can do anything. He says, I can make stones shout out. God used a donkey, right? So God could use these pews or a water bottle, whatever, to reach the world. God could just roll back the sky and just everybody will just confess that Jesus is Lord. That's going to happen one day. God can use anything, but he has decided to use us. He has decided to use you and you and you and you, and he's decided to use me for whatever reason. And the question is, are we holding back God by our lack of prayer? I don't know about you, but every time I repent, great things happen. And I'm like, man, I guess God was just waiting for me to repent. He had all this stuff waiting. You know, if, like, let's say sharing your faith, you're like, man, I have such a hard time with it. I haven't done that in a while. And then you decide to share your faith and you meet all these open people. You're just blown away. God was just waiting for you to repent. God is waiting for us to pray. God is waiting for us to do great things. You know, let us decide to be devoted to prayer. Just make the decision. Every day, I will pray for 48 baptisms by July 15th. Every day, I will pray for A. Every day, I'll pray for B. Have certain things that you pray for every day. Let's, as a church, pray every day for 48 baptisms by July 15th, okay? I'm relying on you for that. I'm going to be praying for it every day and waiting in anticipation. But we just need to decide to be devoted to prayer. And when we are, we will see the incredible effects and the power of prayer in our lives and the lives around us. Amen? Amen. We need to pray, church.